Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Vayera, we, Amir Tashem, have 60 Divrei Torah. First, a quick overview of the Parsha. We have Moshe Rabbeinu confronting Paro in an attempt to have him release Klal Yisrael, at least to go worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 3 days. Things did not get better. In fact, not only did things not get better, things got dramatically worse for Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to reassure Moshe Rabbeinu that indeed the redemption is near. We have the famous language of the four statements, four Lashonos of Geula, Vehotzeisi, Veitzalti, Vegalti, Velakachti. We have a discussion of Moshe's lineage and the ages. Moshe Rabbeinu is 80, Aaron is 83. And then starts the Eser Makos, the 10 plagues, 7 of which are in this week's Parsha. We are going to start with the Divrei Torah towards the beginning of the Parsha. It says in Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis Va'era El Avraham El Yitzchak Vel Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu that I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Rashi makes a cryptic statement, Ve'era El Havos. Those are the Avos. But we know those are the Avos. So what's going on here? The Avos are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Chazam Sofer gives a fascinating explanation that maybe Avos means something else here. Maybe Rashi is adding on not simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but Avos means those who desire me, those who desire a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can we say Avos to mean those who will or desire? So in fact, there's a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Yutes, that says, Lo Yoveh. Yoveh is the same language. Yoveh Avos. Yoveh Hashem Saloach Lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not. Yoveh means desire. Hashem will not desire to forgive that person. So here where it says, Ve'era El Ha'avos. Avos is the same language. Yoveh, desire. Anyone who desires to have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want a relationship with that person as well. In fact, the Rambam explains the Pasuk, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells to Moshe Rabbeinu to explain who he is, to tell them, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, what does that mean? So says the Rambam, Eheyeh Im Eilu Sherotzim Ki Eheyeh Itam. Eheyeh, I will be, Eheyeh Im Eilu, I will be with those Sherotzim Ki Eheyeh Itam, I will be with them. So it's the same concept here, those who desire a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed will have a relationship with them. Just saying Psukei Dezimra this morning, we say Kapitel Tehillim Kuf Mem Zayin, Psalm 147, basically the same thing as part of it. It says, Ritzeh Hashem Es Yereyav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires those who fear him, Es HaMiyachalim L'chasto, those who yearn for his chesed. So that's the concept here. Va'era El Avram El Yitzchak Vel Yaakov. Those are the Avos. What are Avos? Those who desire a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will be with those individuals. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. And the rest of these Divrei Torah are going to be from the Sefer, the beautiful Sefer, Tam Vidas of Moshe Sternbach. So we have Moshe Rabbeinu delivering to Bnei Yisrael the message of redemption. However, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Klal Yisrael, we're getting out of here. Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes says, V'lo Shamu El Moshe. They couldn't hear it. They didn't hear it. Literally, they didn't hear it, which means it didn't even enter the ears, is what it sounds like. I didn't hear you honking. I didn't hear you calling me. It means it just didn't go into my ear even. But the Ramban seems to say something different. It says the Ramban as follows, V'lo Yitnum Lishmoa davar ulechashebo. They were unable to pay attention and to understand and consider what they were hearing. Effectively, that's what the Ramban says. So it seems here, and this is what Rav Sternbach says, v'nira sheina kavana shaloshamu, where it says in the pasuk, v'lo shamu al Moshe, that they didn't hear Moshe. It doesn't mean literally that they didn't hear what he was saying. They heard what he was saying, but they could not focus on it. They couldn't concentrate on it. They couldn't decipher it. It just didn't get anywhere within them. And here, the Balei Musar talk a lot about this, and they say, Shishmiya Kruya. What is hearing something? Hearing something is only when you hear and you consider and think about it. But simply hearing something, but it doesn't go any farther than that, that's not considered that you heard something at all. So, for example, somebody hears Divrei Musar. Here's something that's inspiring to you. It's supposed to make a difference, and it goes in, literally, we'd call it, goes in one year and goes out the other year. That you heard. But if you didn't consider it, you didn't think about it, effectively, you never heard it. And that was the problem with Klal Yisrael, that they were unable to hear. They heard it. They heard the words, but it went one ear, went out the other, because real hearing is when we ponder something. We think about something. We consider it for ourselves. Just yesterday, we had somebody at the Shabbos table, and I asked a question, when did you have an experience in life that had an impact on you, that influenced you in some ways? And somebody said the following. She learned how to drive. It's a non-observant girl that was at the table on a Kiruv trip. And she simply said, there was a time that I learned to drive and I was a terrible driver. And I used to drive with people and they all were very frightened because I did not know what I was doing. And at one point, one of my passengers says, why don't you just read the signs? Read the signs. You want to stop? The sign says stop, stop. If it says yield, yield, you have to read the signs. And the woman who was at our table, she took it literally. She said, okay, I got us to read the signs. That's a very good idea. I got to start reading the signs, and that improved her driving tremendously. But she took it not only literally, but figuratively as well in life, that there's so many signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us. There's so many messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us, and we need to read the signs. We need to listen to the messages, which means not only seeing that something happened, that's just Shmiah, that's just listening one ear and going out the other, but reading the signs means paying attention to the signs, adhering to the signs, understanding the signs. And that's exactly what's going on in this pasuk, that Klal Yisrael, Moshe is delivering the message of redemption and optimism. V'lo shamu al Moshe. They weren't able to hear it. They weren't able to read the signs. They weren't able to listen to the important messages. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, a few psukim later, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I went to the Klal Yisrael, I told them we're getting out, but they couldn't hear it. Hen b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so go to Paro and tell him I'm taking the Jews out. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael is not even listening to me. Certainly Paro is not going to listen to me. Hen b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. Klal Yisrael, they didn't adhere. They didn't listen to me. How is Paro going to listen? Now, the Mephoshim said, this doesn't seem to make any sense. Where's the Kal Vachomer? If Bnei Yisrael didn't listen, so certainly Paro's not going to listen. There was a reason that Klal Yisrael wasn't listening. There was a reason that they couldn't listen. Because of the Avodah Kasha Vachomer Vavim, they were working so hard. Lo Shamu Mipnei HaKotzer Ruach Vavodah Kasha. They were working so hard. They were so involved in the slavery. And it was so controlling of their lives, they didn't have a second to think about anything else. That's why they weren't able to listen to the messages of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in contrast, we have Paro, who was living a great life. The economic engine of the Jews was doing great for Egypt, and he was able to listen. The fact that Klal Yisrael couldn't listen because they were so miserable in their lives, Paro was not, he wasn't in the same situation. So why shouldn't? Where's the Kal Vachomer? What are we trying to learn? Klal Yisrael can listen, though certainly Paro wouldn't listen. So Rav Sternbach explains as follows, actually very beautifully. He says, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, when it comes to a Jew, each and every Jew has a spark of God in them. Built into a Jew, all the way from the Arvos, all the way till today. And what this meshes, when Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Klal Yisrael is, if the Jews who are open to hearing things typically, they have this spark inside of them. They believe in God, at least down deep inside, and they're not able to listen. Kal Vachomer Paro, who is so far away from belief, who has no concept of a spark of the God in him, how is he going to listen? That's the parallel. Jew. A Jew is so open to listening to these type of things and redemption, and they're open because they have this connection to God. Sometimes it's buried, but they have this connection to God. Paro is so distant from it. There's no way he is going to listen. And says Rav Sternbach, important message from this, the Yesod here is that every Jew, even if it's a sinner, a terrible person sinning so much, but nonetheless, we have to remember that every Jew has that nitzotz Eloki, has that spark of God, and you can never give up on a Jew, even if he is so off the derech, but you cannot give up, and you always have to hope and daven for that individual, that flame will become larger and larger, that small spark, that it shall grow and grow. Because we see nowadays, we have been zochen in the past generations, and now especially, that there's such a return to tshuva, just such a strong return to Judaism, because people see emes. So Amir Tshashem, that should continue. We should have optimism with each and every Jew. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and talking about who Aharon married. So it says that Aharon married Elisheva, and she was Achos Nachshon. This is Dvar Torah number 4. We are on Kereg Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel. So it's interesting to note, Aaron married the sister of Nachshon. What is that teaching us? Why do we have to know it was the sister of Nachshon? That's her connection. Why are we tracking her? Why are we leaving Elisheva as having been the sister of Nachshon? So in fact, the Gemara in Baba Basra and Rashi here brings it, Mikan Shanose Esaisha Tzarech Sheyibdok Ba'achehas. From here we learn that when you want to consider marrying a woman, you have to check the brother. Check the brother, check what he is like, because that is going to give an indication as to what she is like. That's what it seems to say. So what's going on here? So says the Tam Vadas as follows. The Kavana of this is, Nachshav ben Aminadav was a person who was Moser Nefesh for the Klal, for everyone. He would do anything for the Jewish people. And without a thought, without a second thought, and as we'll see, when it comes to the splitting of the sea, that it hadn't split yet, and we needed to see this mysterious nefesh, who's the person that jumped in, thinking about everyone else but not himself, who was moser nefesh tremendously, that was Nachshon ben Aminadav. And the message here, a very powerful message, is that this is something that is implanted in a family, that if you want to look at one person, and typically, not always, but we have the phrase, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, that if you want to understand a person, you can look at the siblings. You can look at the siblings and see what is that person like. In fact, another person at lunch yesterday says that they were very influenced by what her grandfather used to say. And the grandfather used to say, this was the phrase, if you show me your friends, I will show you your character. If you show me your friends, I will show you your character. Very powerful. And we're saying something quite similar. If you show me the sibling, if you want to show me Nachshon, I'll tell you what Elisheva is like. Because Nachshon is somebody who really had that characteristic, a familial characteristic of being Moser Nefesh on behalf of the Klal, and that's, you can see, from one member to another. And then Rav Sternbach says very powerfully, he says, when we are looking at character, you're looking at the character, and it's not necessarily in the context of marriage, you were in the context of marriage, you look at the brother, what are we looking at? We're looking at midos. We're looking at the character traits of the individual and not at the Yira Shamayim. Yira Shamayim is very important as well, but Yira Shamayim is achieved through Seichel, through the intellect, to come to the fear of God. But midos is something that passes from Yerusha. That's something that is given from parents to children. And that's what we want to look at. And Nachshon is the example that we have here. If you want to really understand the family, look at the brother. You can tell on the sister. And it would work through many family members. Look at the family members to understand if they have that midah of midos. That's really how you can distinguish when somebody really has good character traits. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, and we're going to look in the Psukim now. So we are in Perek Vav, and two Psukim, Pasuk Chav Vav and Chav Zayin. It's very interesting to note that in Pasuk Chav Vav, it starts out, Hu Aharon Moshe, talking about the two brothers, and the order is very fascinating. Here, it puts Aaron first, and second is Moshe. But in the next Pasuk Chav Zayin, at the end of the next Pasuk, it says, Hu Moshe ve'Aharon. It reverses the order. So in the first Pasuk Chav Vav, it says Aaron, and then Moshe. And then the next Pasuk Chav Zayin, reverses the order, and Moshe comes first. So what's going on here? So Rashi says, he brings one answer to show us that they were equal. although Moshe Rabbeinu was more in the front and more dealing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but this is teaching us, first Aaron, then Moshe, Moshe, then Aaron, they're of equal status. That's what Rashi says. But the Likutei Ritzba brings a different explanation. And he says, fascinating. He says, when it came to Klal Yisrael, their leader, the person that they were more familiar with at least, is Aharon. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was away for so many years in Midian, and the person that they were so familiar with, looking up to as a leader, was Aharon and his father as well, his parents as well. That was the person. When it came to Klal Yisrael, it was Aharon. On the other hand, when it came to Paro, Paro was much more familiar with Moshe because Moshe grew up in the house of Paro. So when it came to Paro, Moshe was first. And if you look at the language here in the Psukim, the first Pasuk we quoted where Aaron comes first, but it's Pasuk Chavav, that is talking about, we'll read the Pasuk, who Aaron and Moshe, this is talking about Aaron first and then Moshe, Hashem Amar Hashem Lahem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Hotziyah es b'nei Yisrael me'er Mitzrayim, we're going to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. That was in the dealings with Klal Yisrael, vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael, in their mind, Aaron came first. On the other hand, the next Pasuk Chazayin, Hem HaMedabri Mel Paro Melech Mitzrayim, these are the two that are speaking to the Melech of Mitzrayim, Paro. Who comes first when it comes to the Paro? Moshe Rabbeinu was his primary individual that he had on his mind, he was most familiar with, and only secondarily came Aaron. So we have to look at the context, and that's why the Ritzvah explains why first it's Aaron, because that's talking about in the dealings with Klal Yisrael, and then second Pasuk first comes Moshe, because that's talking about in the dealings with Paro. And then Rosh Sternbach adds on in the second Pasuk, it says, Hem Hamidabri Mel Paro. These are the two that we're dealing with Paro. And he says, has not such a related point, but a related point. And he says, we oftentimes may think that somebody who has to deal with the leader, the ruler, has to be somebody who lived in that world and knows the way of the Goyim, a polished politician who has experiences that can relate to the secular norms. And we see here otherwise, because it says Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, Hem HaBedramim, well, they were the people. It wasn't the polished politicians, but it was the sincere tzaddikim of the generation. And when we have sincerity, and people are working on behalf of the Klal, not for themselves, but on behalf of the Klal, those are the people that can very easily deal with the leaders of the generation, even more successfully than the polished politicians. And that's why it says, Em and Abrim Alparo, it was Moshe, it was Aaron. They were the ones who were appropriately dealing with Paro. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 6, our final Dvar Torah. We are jumping forward a little bit towards the end of the Parsha. Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Tes, it says, Ketzesi Es Ha'ir, Ephrosas Kapayel Hashem. So this is talking about the seventh plague of hail. And Paro had enough. I have sinned. Please take this plague away from me. Enough is enough. He's admitted I have sinned. And then it says, Vayakshe Hashem Elev Paro, Kadosh Baruch Hu strengthens his heart. And on our Pasuk, Rashi says as follows. When it says, Ketzesi Esir, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you want me to stop the plague? I'll stop the plague. When I get out of the city, that's when I will daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So why when I get out of the city? Why not right now? So Rashi says as follows, Ketzesi Minayir. When I get out of the city, that's when I'll daven Abal Besochayir. But when I'm in the city, Lo Yispala, he wasn't going to be davening. I'm not davening in the city. Why? Because it was full of idols. Place full of idols, that's not a place that you can daven. So the Tam Vadas says as follows, what's going on here? When you're around the Tuma of Avodah Zarah, you're around the impurity of idolatry, your davening, your prayer will not be accepted. First, you got to get in the right environment. First, you got to get away from the Avodah Zarah, and then you can daven. And he says as follows, this is an important limud for us, an important message for us, a Musar message for us, that we see Kal Vachomer. We are talking now when something external to us, and we're in the environment of something external but negative, impure, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, you got to get away from it. Kal Vachomer certainly when it comes to something internal, if we're having improper thoughts, if we are thinking it could be about Avodah Zarah, it could be about other things that are impure or improper when we are starting to daven, just like we have to remove ourselves from something external and that will hinder our davening, so too we have to make real efforts when we have internal improper thoughts going on. Certainly, Kal Vachomer, something external is going to hinder my davening. Something internal, something even closer, you have to make sure that, we all have to make sure that we have clean thoughts and that we are focused on our davening. We have to remove ourselves internally from that situation of having impurities on our minds when we are praying. So thank you so much for listening, and hopefully we can all, including myself, especially myself, incorporate these lessons into our lives. Have a wonderful day.